It's 23:30 Coordinated Universal Time. Stay tuned for the international rebroadcast of The Great Eastern, Newfoundland's cultural magazine with Paul Moth. You are listening to the Broadcasting Corporation of Newfoundland, 520 on the long wave. This week on The Great Eastern.
This city is dangerously close to the chronic constipation of gridlock.
My goal has always been to make an absolutely pure statement.
Yes, with his trademark nine iron.
Your point being...
Good day, Canada, bonjour. Gothenburg in Iceland and Newfoundland. Isn't it marvelous? On today's show, local theater wields every club in the bag. The old town traffic bung. And can you bear to keep any of the clothes you still have on hangers? All this for you with me on The Great Eastern, Newfoundland's cultural magazine. Put the feet up, pour yourself a sipping beverage, and don the bifocals. Time to talk books with our in-house authority, the learned and ever-charming Kathleen Hanrahan.
A belated Happy New Year, Paul.
And to you.
I didn't see you out much over the holidays.
Well, it's a difficult time for reformed piss tanks like myself, Kathleen. It's best to stay home, out of harm's way, and to take it easy. I actually got a couple of good books for Christmas, so it was fun.
Oh, what titles?
You know, they're so utterly insubstantial I forget, but enjoyable.
Yes. Fluff is often such a pleasure.
Well, I take it you got more serious fare.
Two people gave me José Saramago's Blindness.
The Nobel Prize winner?
Yes.
It's originally in Portuguese. The author's not big on punctuation, I hear.
No.
Big book?
Enormous. I could lend it to you.
While I wouldn't mind being seen with the book, I doubt I'd ever read it, so thanks anyway. Now, to today's books, released right after Christmas, these are special audience, or books that won't sell.
Yes. Two volumes dealing with things thespian.
Local?
Yes. The first book, The Pink, White, and Green Room, which I see you've quickly snatched up there.
Yes, well, having been part of the theater scene back in the 70s, checking the index, nothing on me.
Well, it deals with an earlier era, Paul, from the late 30s through to the early 60s.
Okay, well, the second order of business is to check for photographs, and I see there are many. I'm warming to this edition already.
Well, the book covers a period in Newfoundland theater before the Cultural Renaissance.
As if.
In this earlier period, the majority of the players on the stage were third or fourth or fifth rank exiles from the already dying English music hall tradition.
Wash your mouth out, Kathleen. Is this or is this not a photograph of Evelyn Bradley Mead? Perhaps, no, certainly, the leading theatrical twit of his time.
Yes, with his trademark nine iron, a prop he used to great effect.
Up the bum, what? Extraordinary.
Classic, classic.
A master of innuendo.
Yeah. Oh, here he is in Harbour Grace holding a cricket bat this time, but there's no mistaking the gag.
Up the bum, eh?
Ended up in Newfoundland by accident, actually. Staggered aboard the wrong steamer and never got it together enough to leave.
You know, there's a personal connection.
Oh?
Evelyn Bradley Mead had a small part in my play, Country Matters.
I didn't know that.
That was the final production of the play. In fact, it was the last show ever staged at the old Gob in Fairyland. He was getting on in years. He often couldn't remember his lines. But he could still go to the well for an up-down.
Even out of context like that.
Even in his last few performances, he'd find a context. He's a great man on the stage. He could really act his weight.
There's also some photos of some of the great bedroom farces of the era.
Right, here's a shot from Bangers and Mash.
Yeah, Sydney, that's not HB sauce.
You know the play?
I did it in high school.
And here, look, some of the early musical theater. 1937 production of Tally Ho, Dame Edith Wedgley. Wow, she was a big star.
Yes, with Harry Winslow.
And is that...
What?
Yes, it's Evelyn Bradley Mead coming out of the wings with...
Tally-ho, indeed.
Wither, the local musical.
Oh, yes, it all went downhill. Although there was an unsuccessful attempt at a revival in the 60s with Gilbert and Sullivan crossover shows like Brigadelic and HMS Hare.
Ugly. Next.
The second volume of Selected Newfoundland Plays, edited, of course, by Nels Hoofrank. The first was...
I'm not here!
You were expecting to be included?
Well, you know, when the first volume came out, naturally, Nels had to draw the line somewhere. Cul-de-sac and Country Matters, though, they were important plays in their time.
Seals are fishers, too. Now, that isn't a play.
Sure it is.
Oh, go on, Kathleen. It was a collective.
So?
Ever hear of a collective novel?
Well, be an interesting experiment.
Everybody involved gets the same stage time. It's always a hippy-dippy polemic and... Oh, whoa, hold the phone. Burlesque 97. That definitely isn't a play.
In the foreword, Nels Hoefrank states that he included the play. It's an annual political spoof review thing done here annually by Red Tide Theater.
Yeah.
He included it because of its popularity.
Bad Newfie accents and fart jokes, Kathleen.
Now, Paul.
Okay, okay, but we never stoop to Newfie accents.
Well, there may be a volume number 3, so...
Well, there's still time to suck up to Nels, I guess. It means going to cocktail parties held by all those university types. It's a lot to ask.
This is really important to you, isn't it?
Well, it is, because... Well, I think the mixed or muted response that my plays received was... They were ahead of their time.
I guess they still are.
Maybe it's time to restage them. Well, look at that. We're ahead of our time here, too. Thanks so much for coming in, Kathleen Hanrahan.
Always a pleasure.
Great to inaugurate another year of WordWorks.
Come on, kids! Come on up Gander Bay Way. Come on up to Uncle Jack's Shack.
Flipper Pie. Get your gaff, Esau.
It's fun for the whole family.
Smile, Esau. The man's taking your picture.
The fur's flying, and Warden Coombs is in hot pursuit.
Jack Fitzpatrick, I've got a man here from the Department of Fisheries.
Let him have it, kid.
Every Saturday at 1, Uncle Jack's Shack, only on BCN.
The calls for its return echo through our halls. Its fans have beseeched us with pleas, have wept and begged and demanded and threatened, have whinged and proffered financial inducements. But in the end, assured of its cosmic place, it returns of its own volition. Hear now the heavy tread and weight of tradition, the measured pace as we soldiers of sound march into sonic combat. For lo, on the horizon, the competition awaits. We Davids approach the Goliath of pulsating palpitation. What's that noise from Newfoundland? Yes, it's time once more to play the game that is bigger than itself. Soundmaster Hollistuffet, let the devotees linger no longer. There you have it. I believe I can hear the national pulse rate calm. The deal is this. You recognize that sound. You write it down and send your guess in to us. We draw your letter from the accumulated sack of entries. Your surmise is correct and bingo! You are the winner and proud owner of a souvenir chosen at random from the BCN kiosk next to the fountain in our commodious vestibule. As this is a brand new edition of the What's That Noise from Newfoundland contest and you haven't heard this particular noise before, and whereas therefore we have no mail guessing at what this noise is, we'll give you another listen. Get a pen and paper ready. I'll give you the contest address right after this. The brand new noise from Newfoundland. Mr. Duffett, you may fire when ready. When you have properly encoded a note to us, address it to the What's That Noise from Newfoundland contest, care of the BCN, 342 Duckworth Street, St. John's, A1C 1H5. Or you can email your entry, and our address for those missives is greateastern@stjohns.cbc.ca. Take a sound bass of Newfoundland folk music and mix in a dollop of Newfoundland hard rock, and you get this. From their new disc, Smashed Hits, here are Kelly Russell and the Planks with an old Irish tune, Arthur McBride.
I had a first cousin called Arthur McBride. He and I took a walk down by the seaside, seeking good fortune, watching the tide. Was just as the day was dawning. We both took a tramp and we met Sergeant Hopper and Corporal Cramp. Beside the wee drummer beats up for camp with his rowdy dow dow in the morning. My young fellows, if you will enlist, a guinea quickly she'll have in your face, as well as a crown to kick up the dust when we drink the king's health in the morning. And we've been such fools as to take the advance for a wee bit of money. Our lives would run chance with this bigot nose crew us to France, where we could be killed in the morning. He says, my young fellows, if I hear but one word, I instantly now will out with my sword and into your bodies afford. So now, my gay devils, it's warning. But Arthur and I, we toughened the odds. Oh, we gave them no chances to launch out their swords. But our lightning shillelaghs came over their heads and made the right mark.
Good afternoon. I'm Rita Malloy with some BCN programming highlights. At 3 this afternoon on Medicine Chest, Dr. Victor Squire squeezes out the swabs and identifies the latest wave of mutant viruses to arrive in the province. Symptoms featured on today's program include the scaly mucoids of Streptosaurus B, the telltale hot cough of necrotizing bronchitis, and the mild disorientation of the 25-hour flu. Need an antidote for your winter woes? Medicine Chest at 3. At 5 on Jock and Jill, host Tracy Babstock considers the feasibility of a local bid for the 2006 Winter Olympics. Tracy's joined by an expert panel of confidence men, money launderers, pimps, advertising execs, failed businessmen, and retired politicians in search of fatter sinecures. What are our chances with the IOC? You could be in for a surprise this afternoon on Jock and Jill. And tomorrow at midnight, tune in to the Christian Women's Hour with special guest, Brother Foster O'Coin, a Jesuit who was also a Zen master and a full Rastafarian wingding. Brother O'Coin turns to his three faiths to address the major spiritual questions of our time. Is my family a form of God's punishment? Is ecstasy a gateway to enlightenment? And if so, how do I do it? Brother O'Coin demonstrates. And do my bad thoughts make me a bad person? What about really bad thoughts? Get the answer on the Women's Christian Hour. A full schedule of informative and entertaining programming, only on BCN 520.
I'm in the plush passenger seat of a late-model Dodge Metropolis. Behind the wheel, a man much in the news of late, the city's new traffic czar, Carl Piercy.
Welcome aboard, everyone.
And we're heading towards the site of one of Czar Piercy's more controversial projects, the proposed Millennium On-Ramp.
Well, the controversy is completely overblown, I think.
Sorry to interrupt, Carl, but is this the best route to the Osborne Access?
As far as I know.
Well, I take a lot of cabs, and I'll tell you, the professionals go via Gomer Drive.
Yeah, but that doesn't connect to the access road.
Not directly. You've got to dart down Monroe Street.
But that's one way in the opposite direction.
It's only a few yards.
I can't do that. I'm the traffic czar.
Well, back down.
That's still illegal.
I'm pretty sure you can back down a one-way street. You might want to check on that. In any event, you were for many years dean of the Faculty of Parking Administration at the University of Newfoundland at St. John's.
Right, but my background is in traffic.
If you don't mind my asking, what kind of scholarship do traffickers go in?
Trafficologists.
What kind of scholarship do trafficologists engage in?
Well, my early research was on the Anglo-German debate between expressism and arterialism.
Oh, the 30s.
Late 30s, yes.
Autobahn, the Macadam, the folk school.
Yes, and more recently I was working towards a unified theory of traffic.
Well, in a nutshell?
Well, it's a post-junctionist poetics, really. I understand traffic as a living system. A higher form of life in which all elements of the body have intersecting functions. The motorist is a raw material, consumed in the maintenance of the circulation and growth. Well, it's complex.
Well, some other time, perhaps.
Yes. I'm organizing a series of public lectures at City Hall, actually.
Good. I'll be sure to take those in. Now, Czar Piercy, ours is a city that takes great civic pride in traffic regulation.
And so it should.
But isn't your appointment evidence of a certain overreaction?
You and all drivers, Paul, must surely be aware that city traffic is on the verge of chaos.
Well, actually, I don't drive.
You're a pedestrian?
I'm a prod perambulator.
By choice?
Sort of. I'm barred from operating a motor vehicle for life. But even if I wasn't, I would choose to walk.
Sure you would. You have an inside view of things. You obviously can't see that the municipal road system embryo has grown into an asphalt fetus. There are complications. The city has simply called in a specialist to ensure the delivery of a healthy, full-term...
You're big on this organic metaphor, eh?
Well, think of the road system as a body with multiple sphincters. Traffic regularity is all about properly positioned streetlights, opening and closing junctions at the proper rate. This city is dangerously close to the chronic constipation of gridlock.
But aren't you encouraging people to keep gorging the system with a gassy diet?
There's always bypass surgery. It's a little joke there. Okay, here we are. Watch yourself on the way out there, Paul.
Okay, right you are. It's a good chilly out here today. Here it is, the Millennium On-Ramp, rising some 6 or 7 stories out of the tarmac of the Osborne Memorial Drive.
Yes, construction's on the cape nicely.
I confess I'm a little confused by the design.
It's a double helix.
You're right, I see that, but... where does it lead, exactly?
You tell me, Paul. You tell me.
I don't know, Carl.
It's frequently asked traffic question. Can I get there from here?
Exactly. I propose to turn this great on-ramp into a sub-adjunct arterial valve, feeding a circular raised highway that will encompass the entire city.
Another overpass. Great.
Much more than that. Like the great Lemmingstrasse of Vienna, multi-layered roundabout above the city on which you could get anywhere, from anywhere.
Well, you're certainly taking the high road there.
Pure, perfect, relying only on the common courtesy and good sense of drivers to work.
Great. Well, thanks so much for this, Sir Carl Piercy, and good luck with your proactive traffic vision.
Thank you.
The Great Eastern. Great race. Coast to coast in Newfoundland. On the Broadcasting Corporation of Newfoundland, BCN, 520 on the long wave.
He tells me all I really need is a blazer, a white blouse, a pair of blue jeans, and a navy skirt. He's flash, he's up couture, he's fly, whatever that means. He's our fashion correspondent, Lawrence Royce Hiscock.
It's getting very late in the century, dearie, and fashion asks whether it should go home and get some sleep. Or move on to the next party.
Well, what is it? Where are we going next?
Thank goodness. Besides, 98 was proving a prurient, nasty, tawdry little affair anyway.
With a glam, Hilda. I bought the glitter makeup and a feather boa, and I simply have nowhere to wear them.
Well, Larry, perhaps everyone realized the glam sham was a shrewdly integrated, yet ultimately transparent pan-media marketing gimmick.
Your point being...
As for this season, how much simpler can simple get? German conceptual designer Ark Velder shocked the fashion world by reducing the logo look to its minimalist essence.
Ark, you're a simple designer, maybe the simplest ever, but is this too simple?
My goal has always been to make an absolutely pure statement, so this is perfect.
Just buy the logo, nothing else?
Yeah, just the label.
Designer nothing.
Designer nothing.
I'm speechless.
Yeah.
Wow.
Cause everybody's somebody's
fool. Hoo, hoo, hoo. Exeunt supermodel. With the sudden departure of overpriced ass from the runways, designers are scrambling to throw their cost-is-object rags over something. Perennial bad boy of couture, retiresome egomaniacal oaf, Jean-Louis Grenoy's answer to the crease, the ant model. Stubby, scabby, fat, beastly little people drove Jean-Louis' Summer 99 on the ramp.
It's an interesting gambit, Jean-Louis, but will it work?
No, it's a disaster. Thanks for making this easy for me, and please don't call.
As satire is to kitsch, reality is to irony. Fashion this year draws closer and closer to total self-actualization. This scribe proudly announces, 1. Clothes that are admittedly unwearable objets du style for the fragrance and the pet food. 2. Hard, and I mean hardcore pornography in print advertising. And finally, 3. A dress actually made of money.
Beautiful, Chandra.
Yes, it's made entirely from U.S. $100 bills.
How many?
This is a size 3, so we used 97.
And excuse my vulgarity, but the cost?
This one costs $20,000, but naturally a larger size will cost considerably more.
So it also penalizes the larger woman. It's genius! Chandra, thank you.
Serves you right, darling. I urged you purge. Open wide for the great Eden. I'm Lawrence Royce Hiscock in St. John's.
This week has been a rough one on me. I've been out for the count, sidelined, under the weather, on the DL, as it were, unfit for action, out of circulation, rocked to my socks, KO'd by some virulent bacteriitis. A gruesome, euphemistically branded cold has been making the rounds of the old town recently, and on Sunday last landed on my doorstep. One disturbing aspect of this particular bug is that it is the only one that I know of that's visible to the naked eye. The CDC in Atlanta has sent a team outfitted in bubble suits to investigate. You can actually see this bug. It shows up on surfaces first as a gooey film. Then it looks like a sooty substance. And when examined more closely, it moves, wherever it is. And it's waiting for you everywhere, hanging off doorknobs, loitering on toilet seats, drooling on telephone mouthpieces, and hiding in your wallet, getting ready to attack you when you're at your weakest. Ugh, it's hideous. Mom, whether through some defense of the ancients or pure orneriness, hasn't been laid low this season, or any winter in my memory, by a hack, cough, spasm, or chill. I don't know if it's something in her blood. Maybe she's just immune to the particular viral bacteriosis that's currently playing jet aircraft fighter with my stomach. But she must be some kind of medical freak that she hasn't been stopped in her tracks like me by now. She needs to be investigated. But me, as I got to tell you, down I go like I've been poleaxed, tased, and gaitered all at the same time. Got the sweats, the shakes, the sore throat, the rumblings, both gaseous and liquid, frontal and rural. The only things I've been able to concentrate on are the cryptic crossword and Cecil Taylor improvisations, which, in my addled state, I've been whistling around the house like pop tunes. And through it all, my Florence Nightingale, my Hannah, my Nurse Ratchet has been my mom. Bowls of soup, warm wraps for my neck, tissues placed within easy reach, extra comforters on the bed, pillows plumped, aspirin at regular intervals, supplies of cold water in a bronzish lava glass on the nightstand, replenished regularly with the stealth of a cat burglar, and always the question, anything I can get for you, Polly? God, a nonagenarian, usually riddled with arthritis, addled by modern life, perturbed by any inconvenience, now hocus-pocus, abracadabra, mirabile visu, a willing servant, a handmaid, and I've got to admit it, an angel. But the guilt she's saddling me with on this one, well, I guess I'm stuck at home forever after I recover, you know, being Catholic and all. Well, I don't know if I can do that. Between the bug and the mother now, I'm dying here. I don't need either of them. What I really need is a bacterioectomy. Just start shoveling the snow without me, okay?
Eastern comes to you, well, if not quite alive, then at least lively, each week at this time. You have engineer Hollis Duffett and director of radio Ish Lundrigan to thank for that. We enjoy hearing from you, so if you'd like to write us, our address is The Great Eastern, care of the BCN, 342 Duckworth Street, St. John's, A1C1H5. Or use our electronic address, greateastern@stjohns.cbc.ca. While you're in cyber world, check our website, www.greateastern.cbc.ca. My name is Paul Moth. Join me again next week for The Great Eastern, Newfoundland's cultural magazine.